All right, welcome. Good morning. So, Friday night, I opened up with a question from Rabbi Ramon. I always like doing his questions because they're Shia calling again. They're in real time. This one is dated Yud Dalet Kislev, Tufshin Pei Dalet. So that's approximately a month ago. 2 months ago, actually. We'll go over the question again, and then we'll discuss the topic before we get to his answer. Rabbi Ramon was asked the following question from a soldier. He says, we are currently stationed somewhere in Gaza, and we don't have a Sefer Torah. He says, the general halacha is that when you don't have a Sefer Torah, when you say Tachnun, you don't put your head down, because you're only supposed to put your head down when you are, when you're L'fnei Hashem.
I've actually never heard, what's the source for that?
You never heard this?
No. The Rav would always do it, and like at school, we would always do it. So like, this is like a foreign concept, so not doing.
This is like everyone's favorite concept. I'll tell you why. So this is a quick tangent. Rabbi Sobolovsky was once traveling, and he was in... So Rabbi Sobolovsky was once traveling. Well, some people say if there's a Torah in the building, that counts. But Rabbi Sobolovsky was once traveling, and he was in, I believe, Germany, diving in the airport as you do, and there were a bunch of Hasidim there, and they got a Tach, and they said, no Tach. And he said, why not? And they said, there's no Sefer Torah. So he said to them, the Ramah says explicitly, when there's no Sefer Torah, you just don't put your head down, but you say Tachnun. And they said, unless there's a Sefer Torah, we're not saying Tachnun. Which point, someone in the group opened his knapsack and pulled out a Sefer Torah and goes, I'm actually going to Israel now, bringing a Sefer Torah. And they're like, oh, Shkach HaPratis, and they did Tachnun. Same thing happened to me, by the way. I was traveling to Israel on Yom HaTzmaut. I was in in Zurich, and they skipped Tachnun. I said, you're skipping Tachnun because it's Yom HaTzmaut. They all went down for Tachnun. Either way. So the Ramah says, we'll get there. I mean, we'll get there in a minute. The Ramah says that when there is no Sefer Torah, you don't say Tachnun. Excuse me, you don't put your head down for Tachnun. That being said, there are so many psukim in the Torah that mention that when we go out to war, Hashem is with us. Hashem is with us. If that's true, so maybe it's considered enough to be lefnei Hashem. We're in front of God, and we should be saying Tachnun with our head down, even though there is no Sefer Torah. This is the question they asked Rabbi Ramon. Just a quick step back. Rabbi Soloveitchik asked a very, I guess, fundamental question that's as follows. If you think about it, we start off our day, we do all the tefillos, right? We do brachos, which we talked about, we skip Pesach Zimmer, we'll get there. We get to Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei is the quintessential prayer of us asking for literally a laundry list of all our needs. You finish Shmoneh Esrei, what is there left to still say? Why are we continuing on with tefillah once you conclude what seems to be the major tefillah, the Amidah? You ask for forgiveness, we already did that twice in Shmoneh Esrei, seemingly. So why are we even, what are we doing in Tachnun? What's the point of Tachnun? If you look in the Gemara and Brachos, the Gemara and Brachos actually lists, there are a number of tefillos that the Tanaim instituted for themselves, that they would say at the conclusion of davening. It was their personal tefillah. One of them, by the way, being a Lekhanetzar. Which is a personal tefillah. Other one, the tefillah's Rav. What's tefillah's Rav? So the Yehi Ratzon we say on for Kiddush HaChodesh. That's actually a tefillah of Rav. He would say that one. He's not Mor. He would say that. In fact, some gears of the Gemara end off Bizchus tefillah's Rav instead of the way we end off. Because that's what he said. There are a number of personal tefillos, so that's actually one of the sources we have. We have other sources in the Gemara Tachlin. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, in the fourth parak, in the end of the fourth parak, records a very famous story, the famous story of Tanar Shachnai. The story basically goes, I mean, the usually quoted in other context, was there was Machlokos, Rabbi Elazar, and the Chachamim about whether a certain oven could contract tumah or not contract tumah. And Rabbi Elazar says, if I am right, let the heavens declare I'm right. And a heavenly voice comes out and says, you're right. And they say, we don't listen to the Baskol, heavenly voice. If I'm right, the trees will tell I am right. If I'm right, the walls of the base medrash say I'm right. What do you say?
I was going to say, there's Gemara in Megillah 22, so you're like a week off.
We'll get there. There are numerous Gemaras. Yeah. And you let the river say I'm right, the river reverses course, and he goes, let the coastly best measures say I'm right, and the walls start to cave in. And basically they say to him, look, that's not the way the halachic process works. The way the halachic process works is we use our own logic and deduction, and you can quote all the miracles you want, and to perform all the miracles you want, we're not going to rely on that for the halachic process. And ultimately they put him into cherem. They excommunicated him because he wouldn't follow the halachic process. And it talks about how his sister, no, his, it said, then the Gemara says that he was married to the sister of the person who put him into Cheirim. And every day that sister would come and disrupt him when he, between him finishing Shmoneh Esrei and starting Tachlim. And the Gemara says that one day she miscalculated. She thought it was Rosh Chodesh, so he wasn't saying Tachlin. It wasn't Rosh Chodesh, and he said Tachlin. And basically, bad things befell her. Her brother. Why? So the Gemara seems to say, Gemara says that the power of going from Shmoneh Esrei to Tachlin without an interruption makes it that your tefillos are answered. And Rav Shechter quotes this all the time and says, this is brought down, and Mishnah Berurah quotes this, Beis Yosef quotes this, that there's some sort of special power to our, that our tefillah will get answered if we don't have a hefsek, a break between our tefillah and our Shmoneh Esrei and Tachlin. I thought perhaps, this is my own thought, that I don't see anyone who said this, but if you think about it, if Elokai Netzar is really part of Tachlin, meaning it's a personal prayer at the end of our tefillah. It's part of Tachlin. So the reason we're not supposed to have a break is because Tachlin, in a way, is part of Shmoneh Esrei. And I'll give you two proofs for this. Again, this is my own thinking. One is, when do we say Kaddish Tiskabel? The Kaddish where we say God accept our prayers. All right, the conclusion after Tachlin. We don't say before Tachlin. We say it after Tachlin. So much so that even we say that the Chazan. When does the Chazan take us three steps back? We all take our three steps back when we finish Shmoneh Esrei. The Chazan waits until after Kaddish Tiskabel, because it's one big unit. That's why also if someone walks out of shul and you only have nine people, you still can say that Kaddish, because the Kaddish is going on Shmoneh Esrei. But Tachlin is put in there as well, because Tachlin in a way is part of Shmoneh Esrei. And that's where the Rav says as follows. The Rav says that we are Jews as a people. We're also Jews as an individual. Writes the Rav in Alat Shuva that there's a standardized text to prayer, because kind of like, you know, we can go through all the reasons why that is. It could be that's what we're supposed to aspire to. The standardized text is supposed to tell us, essentially, you might not care about, you know, Yerushalayim being rebuilt or the Davidic dynasty being restarted, but God's saying these are the things you should care about. Whatever reason is, there's a standardized prayer, but then there's also, we are our own personality, we have our own prayers. And what Elokai Nesham, Elokai Netzar is, what we're supposed to do at the end of davening is insert our own prayers, make it personal. Talk about what we need, talk about what we need. That's what Tachna is. Tachna means Techina, is that sort of prayer of where we're personalizing our prayer. So much so that it seemingly, Elokai Netzar is Tachnun, and then it continues to the Tachnun when we sit down. And it's very possible that why are we sitting down? Again, the post can talk about this, because what we're doing effectively is we're saying, God, we're doing everything. We're sitting in prayer, we're standing in prayer. And then if we get to the point where it's our own personal prayers, we're just throwing ourselves on the floor, basically. Which, by the way, when you look at the Gemara Megillah that Daniel just quoted, it's literally, we're prostrating ourselves on the floor. Now we just put our head down, and we're saying, we're doing every single position possible. Now we're just basically saying, God, I need your help. Standing didn't work. Sitting didn't work. Now I'm going to personalize my prayer. I'm going to tell you, this is what I really need. This is what I need in my life. Please help me. There's a sense of dependency that really comes out there. We really depend on you, God, and we're going to throw ourselves down in prayer like that. It's one long prayer. You have a question? What else?
Why doesn't Torah have to
be there? Beware. Oh, so we'll get there. Get to the Torah part of it, but or we won't get there. But we'll see in a second. But it's so that's one aspect of it. It happens to be that the Rav has another point which I don't want to get into fully now. Where the Rav seemingly argues that who are we to stand in front of the king? You know, like stand straight and tall. When you stand in front of the king begging for your life, you're crouched over. Seemingly, the ideal position of tefillah would be crouched over, and we have some sort of dispensation to sometimes stand straight and tall. But I don't want to... I mean, I think that figures in, but that's just... Okay. So, the Mishnah Berurah even quotes this Gemara, by the way. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this Gemara. We shouldn't have a hefsek, a break between our Shmoneh Esrei and our Tachnun. What? What, Simon?
Yeah.
I should have written it down. Kuf Lamed Aleph, I believe. It should be like the second or third Mishnah Berurah there. He quotes this Gemara. He also quotes this Gemara in Bava Metzia. Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Again, my thought is because really it's one long tefillah. Tachlin is a natural progression from tefillah Shmoneh Esrei, going from these more communal prayers where we're diving for the klal, we're diving for these broader things. Now we're really making it personal. We're throwing ourselves down in prayer and saying, God, I need you. Even in your anger, God, I need you. What does it mean not to have a hefsek? The post can talk about you know, if it's, you could say a man yehi shmei rabba, that you could say. Other things you need for davening, you can turn to the gabbai and say, by the way, did you choose so and so for tefillah? Those you could say, but it comes to other things, you should not have a break. I mean, generally, you shouldn't talk, but you should try to minimize those sort of breaks. I'm not going to get into now the days we say tachlin, the days we don't say tachlin. There is a whole list. Although I once saw from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, this is probably everyone's favorite, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He says, nowadays, sofek tachlin lahakel. When in doubt, don't do tachlin. Seems to be the minhag. But where does that really come from? So there happens to be, there's a machlokas we've shown him about if tachlin is mandatory or it's just a minhag. Rav Naturei Gaon says it's a minhag. The Rambam seems to say it's part of tefillah, which, by the way, the Rav seems to embrace. It's really part of Shmoneh Esrei. It's part of, as the Rav even writes, what is tefillah? It's we thank God for things, we praise God, and we ask bakashas, we personalize it, and we say we need things. And it might just be an extension of not just atachonin ladam das. The Rafaino is also the tachlin itself. The Gaonim think it's only a minhag. That's the source, probably, why there are some places that are very lenient when it comes to tachlin. You go to certain shuls in our neighborhood, and they never say tachlin. They never say tachlin. There's a yard site, there's a this, there's a that. They don't say tachlin. Why? Because that's, and everyone likes to skip. I once said there's no simcha in a Jewish man's life like finding out you don't have to say tachlin on a Monday or a Thursday. But that's the source for it. Although other places in the Litvish world, world of the Rambam, they're much more machmer. Rav David Kav, you remember Rav David Kav from KBY? He once said to me, when he was a chassan, he was davening somewhere, and they kicked him out. We need to say tachlin. Please walk out of the room. That is the litvox for you. Okay. So, that being said, what about this idea, which we brought up, which Daniel never heard of, because he's a real Talmud of the Rav over here, learned in those institutions, that you only say tachlin when there's a, when you lifnei Hashem. So, it starts off Ramon in the tshuva here. Rav Ramon says, Dinzelo, his scribe, Gemara, bro, we show him. Most we show him don't say this. The Gemara doesn't say this. The Gemara talks about, as you said, the Gemara Megillah talks about literally prostrating yourself on the floor, which is why most of Kuflam and Aleph, a lot of it is all about the different laws of when you're allowed to put yourself on the floor, when you're not allowed to put yourself on the floor, the whole idea of covering our face on Yom Kippur, when we go down for the Avodah, or on Yom Hashanah for Aleinu. That's all in that parasha over there. Ulam Balha Rokeach, Kosef Shein Li Palapano Kishain Sefer Torah. The Rokeach was a very important Rishon, but he's important enough that the Ramah quoted him. Like, there are lots of Rishonim who say lots of things, but if you make it into Shulchan Aruch, clearly, you know, the Ramah thought, you know, it was something worth put in there. So Rokeach writes, Shein Li Palapano Kishain Sefer Torah. Because of the Simon Davar, Yeshua, Kosef Ayi Palapano Aron Hashem. It says Yeshua put himself down, prostrated himself in front of the Aron Hashem. Mashmash tefillah hikashe sefer Torah. This implies it's in the tefillah when the sefer Torah. By the way, just point that again. This is one of the areas in halacha where there's a lot of Kabbalah mixed in. You even already find in the Mishnah Berurah a lot of Kabbalah. Why don't say it at night? The halacha is the Shulchan Aruch says you say tachlin sitting, not standing. But if you need to, you can say it standing. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but all Kabbalah say you say it sitting down. This comes up when you're diving in minyan on an airport. And you see, what do? You have to sit down, you have something, you see someone leaning against the wall to do that. Why are you leaning against the wall? Because you're supposed to be sitting. Also, again, it plays into the whole idea that if we're trying to cover all areas, both standing and sitting and laying down, or someone laying down, so that's what it is. There's a lot of kabbalah in here, fine? Amna. Borish ain't a passion posim. Says Rev Ramon, it's clear, if the Rokeach's really the source for this, and everyone's quoting the Rokeach, so this is not a halacha in the sense that there's no other options. Like sometimes the Rama will quote, this is what we should do. When you look around and everyone says it, that's the halacha. And sometimes he's quoting, this is the minhag that developed, but clearly this is not halacha psuka. Also, okay, fine. Minapos nitl hasek shekishar nimsul lefnei aron Hashem, emelam vakshet tefila, bakeshes tefila, alokas shein ipok shein aron Hashem. So it's interesting. The way Rabbi Mohan wants to learn is, that if you're in front of the aron, so you have to, no, doing this nefila of putting your head down. It doesn't say anywhere if you're not there, you don't have to. It just implies that seemingly being in front of the Aron Kodesh somehow engenders an obligation that at some point during davening, go like this. Why would that be? It could very well be because what are we doing? We're standing in front of Hashem, we're pleading for our life. We're pleading for everything, and sometimes when you plead, you really just, you know, you bend over. Instead of standing straight and tall, you're bending over. Yeah. Correct. We'll get there. So, I don't know if you spoke to Rav Rimon before he wrote the tshuva, but what you're saying, we're going to see in a minute. He's the best. You're the best. He's really the best. I had a tshuva from this week. I sent to Rabbi Reis a tshuva. It was an interesting tshuva. And he just wrote back, classic Rav Rimon. Sources, the compassion, you know, all together. Okay. So he says as follows. Now, again, it's important to recognize, and I mentioned this again to Daniel, when I was in Yeshiva Tana Pesach, I remember this very clearly, we had a mincha room. The mincha room was on the third floor. They didn't want to take all these kids down upstairs and downstairs, because you know how it was when kids go up and downstairs. Every foot you travel with a bunch of kids, it's just another foot where something was going to go wrong. So we went to the minch room, which is the room next door. We did tachna, and everyone said, oh, Rav Meir Stern said, there's a Sefer Torah in the building. So again, what does it mean to have a Sefer Torah? How accessible does it have to be? What does it have to be Sefer Torah? What if there are other Svarim? Some poskim say other Svarim work. The stipler, I believe in Rav Chaim Kanievsky, in his house, he would do tachna, put his head down, because there were other Svarim in the room. He goes, yeshar adibre, okay, So here, by the way, he says it a little bit as well here. Also, answer your point. He says, Friday says it. This is Rav Rimon talking. B'chol makom sheyesh no hasgalas shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anytime we talk about God revealing Himself in Tanakh, yesh in the field is there's the lashon, the language of falling. B'shnimsa av etzel Avram, etzel Am Yisrael. Avram falls over. Am Yisrael falls over. But the field Am etzel Eliyo. When by Eliyo they fall over. Vod rabbos. So what he does is there's no problem of bowing, of putting your head down, even with no Sefer Torah. I guess the assumption could be like if you're standing in front of the king, maybe you're not allowed to put your head down. He goes, no, you're allowed to put your head down. So that's number one, right? So we're working towards an answer. Like, don't worry, if you want to put your head down, that's definitely allowed. But more than that. I can tell you the opposite. Maybe you should put your head down. Tefillah hanormalet mul Hashem ha'isetricha lios b'tefillah. So this is the point I said a minute ago. Potentially, if you're standing in front of the Melech Malchei HaMelech, standing in front of God, who are you to stand straight and tall? There's certain arrogance to that, right? Even if you look at Shulchan Aruch, it talks about certain things you shouldn't do, and probably again it's more societal. How you shouldn't, you know, go like this, and you shouldn't stand straight up. Some people say you should only dive in like this. Why? Because, and some say no, you should stand straight and tall. It's different. There's different halachas, but what it comes out to is you're standing in front of Hashem. So he says, maybe tefillah should be tefillah. And the chiddush and the novelty of our tefillah is that we do it standing. Meaning, maybe standing is standing is the abnormality here. How can you stand up? Because why? The mitzvah of standing in front of Hashem is to be humble. Ella, there's a heter, there's a dispensation to stand straight and tall. And therefore, when you do tachnun, which is supposed to be sitting, put your head down. This, in fact, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, and Daniel says as well. It's where it's coming from. Okay. It's good company. Yes. However, so that being said, so what we have right now is he said, certainly you're allowed to sit. Maybe even davening should be done sitting, except that we have some sort of dispensation to be standing. He says, but the Ramah says you should be sitting. If there's no Sefer Torah, you sit down, but you don't put your head down. You don't put your head down. Why? It's kind of not totally clear. Now let's go to our question. Our question: can you put your head down in the machane tzva'i, in the army camp, as the Torah says many times? Ki Hashem Elokecha mishalech b'kerav machanecha, and Hashem says, Hashem, your God will be within the midst of your camp. La'atzilcha to save you, la'aseis ovech lefanecha, to put your enemy before you. Vayom machanecha kadosh, etc., etc. Constantly, the Torah reminds us God is in the camp of the. Right, not only Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, but certainly in the camp. Fine. And therefore, fascinating, there's a precedent, Harv Tukachinsky, who was a Rav in Yerushalayim in the turn of the century, in the last century, he wrote many of the works, the early works about the Medina. He was one of the first to really write these sort of works. He also was an expert in the calendar. He wrote books about the calendar. Listen to what he wrote. Kosov, Shebi Yerushalayim, Hanichshevis L'Kifnei Hashem. In Yerushalayim, we consider L'Kifnei Hashem. And that is the minhag in Yerushalayim, they always put their head down. Why did they always had then whether it's a Sefer Torah or not a Sefer Torah? The Yerushalayim is Lifnei Hashem, which brings us back to some things we've discussed earlier. Where's Joshi? We discussed this with the Lulav, right? That Lifnei Hashem. In fact, that's it's Lifnei Hashem. We're not going to get into that right now. Similarly, how Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says it's only in the Ir Atika, in the Old City, but the fact is, here's another precedent where there's no Sefer Torah, but it's considered there's a heightened presence of God's presence in the Old City, or in Yerushalayim in general, and therefore, Kuczynski said, you always put your head down. So again, here's a fourth source for this as well. I saw Rav Moshe as a tshuva, he says this as well. He says the same idea. He was substantiating the minhag. He said, it's Lifnei Hashem. So Rav Moshe says this as well. He didn't quote Rav Moshe, but I saw it from Rav Moshe. Next, he says, there are poskim, as we mentioned a minute ago, who said, when you're around Sifrei Kodesh, other Sifrei Kodesh, you should put your head down. Other Svarim. Now, I'll tell you, one of the most amazing things about this war, as we're seeing now, just again, I guess you have 75 years in the country, the way the Hezer movement has started, you know, in the 50s, has now really taken over in Israel. So many of the combat soldiers are religious. Like a very high percentage of them are religious. In fact, Reb Bednar, Shmuel Rebbe, said that he heard two of his son and his friend were talking about which uniform is better. You know, Ma'ad Aleph, Ma'ad Beis. He's like, what a boring conversation. And then one guy said, no, because in whichever uniform it was, the pockets are bigger and you can fit the Chumash Rashi in it. Rav Asher Weiss, who we've quoted all the time, he printed a special Minchas Asher, pocket size, of his Svarim to send out because many of his Talmidim were going to war. Art Scroll did a special printing of the Daf. Before, I guess what we did last, what Daf, Gittin, was it Gittin? No. Yeah, Gittin. I guess now in also Baba Kama, because so many of the soldiers are learning. So he says, look, there might not be a Sefer Torah, but there are Svarim. There are Svarim. I just saw there was this one of the soldiers who was killed, who I'm connected with somewhat, they found in his bags when he turned, he apparently had a reading disability, he had a very hard time learning, but he brought with him a Mesil Sesharim to the battle. Give me a second. When I finish, I'll get back to it. There's so many Svarim there, and therefore says Rabbi Rimon, V'tamid yeshtam Svarim kadosh b'suyam b'karav chayalim. There are Svarim among our chayalim. Anu zerak tziruv keshchid mach natzavi zeo divri har b'yoser mashmuti meshar base sheish b'svarim. And he says as follows. But you know what? That's just a tziruv. That's just a nice sniff lahakel. I don't need this idea, this heter of having other Svarim to put tachton, because Charles's idea, we're talking about the army camp of the Jewish people, and God's presence is there. So I don't need to go any other heter. God's presence is there. And just one more source, I want to bring this up because it came up last year, and I always like doing Chazara. If you recall last year, we learned the mitzvah chatzotra, it's mitzvah, it was a memtes or nuntes, 59, I think it was nuntes. We talked about why we don't have chatzotras nowadays. So we said, the first question we asked was the Magen Mishnah says, there when the Rambam says there are two times we have mitzvah to blow chatzotros. One time for karbanos in the base of Migdash, and also Be'ez Tzar, when you go out to battle, you also blow the chatzotros, the trumpets. Says the Magen Mishnah, that seems like two totally disparate reasons. Why is it not two different mitzvahs? Mitzvah Mentes, mitzvah I think it's Nun. Nuntes and Samach, or Nun Ches, Nun Tes. Why is it one mitzvah? So we quoted a Chaskuni who says, because when you blow the shofar, Be'esar in the camp, it's supposed to remind you of the karbanos, and then you either invoke divine mercy or you're supposed to do tshuva. Rav Moshe seemingly took a step further and said, the reason nowadays we don't blow shofar, Be'esar, you go out to battle, why are you not blowing shofar? He says, because you're supposed to use the very shofar of the Beis HaMikdash, and we can't do that, it'd be me'ila. Again, what perhaps we're driving there as well is there's some sort of, again, very strong connection about being the machana is not just a camp, but it's a makam ashchina, almost like the Beis HaMikdash. That was just my own, okay, fine. So, let's bring it all together. Lemaisa, what? How do we paskin? We know Tachnun, we just said, is part of Shmon Esrei. So much so it's part of Shmon Esrei, the part where we literally just beseech God, and the Amoraim and Tanaim had their own tefillahs they made up. Right? Look, again, Elkhain of Tsar is not part of Shmon Esrei. It's a tefillah that we added on to Shmon Esrei from one of the Amoraim. That's when you add in your own tefillahs. We throw ourselves down in front of God. And again, we don't have a hefsek because it's part of Shmon Esrei. We say Kaddish afterwards. Again, it's part of Shmon Esrei. We said Tachnun is a very important part, yet somehow we're only supposed to say it. We only put our heads down in front of Aron Kodesh. Why that is, we're not totally sure. Although Rav Rimon said, seemingly, and quoting the Rav, all tefillahs should be said in a position of humble, crouched over, but we have a special heter not to do it. In the machaneh, of the Tzava'i, Hashem is present. Clearly Hashem is present. So much so, says Rav Rimon, I don't need another heter of having all this Svarim there. So what do we do? Lema'isa says as follows. The Machin Tzava'i, this is bolded. Nito lipo apayim gam lo sefer Torah. You could do Tachnun without a sefer Torah. Notice he didn't say skip Tachnun. Tachnun is a very important part of davening. Because God's presence is in the camp. This is he adds his own personal thing. And by the way, Rabbi Ramon recently said, my biggest regret when I went to Israel is I missed him. We were supposed to have a barbecue together. I missed him. But I heard an interview where he said he hasn't washed his suit jacket since the war started. He goes, because he's hugged thousands and thousands of soldiers with it. How can he wash that suit? He's literally spending his days. He's one of those busy people I know. He's a rav of a huge kehila. He's the Rosh Hashiva in Machon Lev. He runs this organization called Sulamot, which does all this Torah programming and also helps people find jobs. Like it's a lot of chesed, and he's still finding time to spending a lot of time with the soldiers. Just one quick note. Recently, he also I didn't even know this. In an interview, he talked about. He just mentioned he pioneered some sort of Mishnah program to teach Mishnahs to Jewish kids. There were about like 100,000 kids doing this. They had a huge siyum where the president of Israel was going to be there. And Rabbi Ramon filmed himself addressing the siyum. So his daughter said to him, wait, why didn't you go to that? That was your program. He said, look at the date. He goes, 2 months ago, we made up. We were going to go down south together and have just a date together, me and his daughter. And then the president called us. I'm sorry, I'm busy that day. I have something in my schedule. You talked about the importance of learning to balance family with being a rabbi. You know, you have to figure that out. Part of it is, and the president calls, if you have a date with your daughter, you don't push off the date with your daughter. He's an amazing person. But listen to what he says. So he said, again, this is someone who's literally been in the, running around, he's probably even gone into Gaza somewhat, but he's running around with the soldiers. V'ani yochel lahayid, I can testify. Ki b'biker etz ha'chayelim b'machin tzva'im, when I go to the army camps to visit them, in the last few weeks, I can literally feel God's presence among these soldiers. And therefore appears saying the fields of Payim, putting your head down without a Sefer Torah. He goes, It's clear, Mamshicha Yosef Bekarav Chayilim, that they have this better understanding. They know what it means to be Lifnei Hashem. B'techshuva zu hi chelek merkazi mimucham mitzvah. And that's, and this feeling of that you're Lifnei Hashem is part, a very important, it's the central part of what it means to be involved in a holy war. In a holy war. She dira banu shemelchama shalanu es mechamas Hashem anach osim, to have this feeling and this knowledge that what we're involved in is not just a war for territory, a war for safety or peace, but it's actually a war that's a mitzvah. This is something that's come. It's a mechamas Hashem. Hashem nitzan asan. Hashem is found with us. Hashem nilchemas and Hashem fights with us. Latziuch to save us. Blessed ovech lefnet to put an army for us. Ubeezus Hashem natziuch mechamim, and we will win this war. So he seems to say it's actually important that soldiers do put their heads down. So they have this feeling that Lifnei Hashem, because a central part of fighting this battle is this feeling and this recognition that we're fighting for something much more existential than even the state of Israel. But that we're fighting God's war, and this is what God wants us to be doing. Be'ezus Hashem, he writes, we should continue to go on with strength, with heroism, Shatzal Yatzliach, La'abos says, Ha'oyev Ha'achzari, that Tzahal will win over and destroy this evil, cruel enemy, Lachnil La'ashvila, to really obliterate them, Shiyachzik Kvod Knesset Yisrael, to return the glory to Knesset Yisrael, Huichain Tain Kvod Hashem La'mecha, and to bring, quoting from the liturgy of the high holidays, Hashem should give glory to his people, Shitachzene B'rayim V'shleim Nefesh B'guf, and return everyone healthy, both in nefesh and in guf, and in body and in emotions and spirit, v'shniske l'sheves b'shalom, should be zocha to live and dwell in tranquility and peace. Ba'achdos, he adds in, and unity. Ba'ava, in love, v'artzein hakadosh, in our holy land. Yosef tzvi Rimon. Wish you all a wonderful week.